Blog Talk Radio. All right.
Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I am one of the teachers here with the ISBHPK, and that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We'd like to welcome you to our show as we're doing our remote live broadcast from our school location in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The school in Albuquerque is located at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. And we invite any and everybody, any Albuquerque area, to please come and join us for classes on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 8 p.m. to 10, just to round it off. And also on Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 9 to 11, we invite you to join us there in Albuquerque. As a quick reminder, that you know, we have a raffle for the garment. There's a raffle for the garment there in Albuquerque. Try to help school there now, and try to help the school department there in Albuquerque as well. The raffle is going to be held on January 5th, okay? And what the sisters are asking for is $30 to purchase the ticket for the raffle, right? And again, the money is going for a good cause, is to get the school department up and really running strong there in Albuquerque as we're trying to really make our mark and grow in Albuquerque. This is one of the things we want to get together. So as a reminder, $30 raffle going on in Albuquerque is going to be held on January 5th. Okay, so you can go www.paypal.me/Banahizar, and that's BanahizaR. Go there online, click on, and you can make your purchase, your $30 purchase there for a raffle ticket. We ask for people to make more than one purchase. All right, try and get this this going. And the garment that they're auctioning off is the gray tunic with the matching headband, armbands, and the girdle that goes around it. It's a really beautiful garment, really nice garment. And it'll be customized to fit anyone, okay? It can be customized to fit anyone. And it's a sister's way of up in Albuquerque. I really want to go ahead and get Albuquerque on the map even that much more. They've been scraping and scrapping, trying to put together this department. They had got some shirts, some beautiful gray shirts that they printed up for us. Got the print and everything done. Really beautiful. It was really, really impressive, surprising that it's got together really did this, you know, in an effort to really want to exemplify Proverbs chapter 31, some of the virtues of a virtuous woman, you know, that the Most High is looking for. So they're really trying to get together and really trying to keep and help get Albuquerque on a map, on a national level, and everything else. So we ask again, please to www.paypal.me/Banahizar, BanahizaR, to make a purchase. Again, it's going for a good cause, just to help out. But any charity, tithes, alms, or priest funds you'd like to give. Also, you can go to ISBHBK@gmail.com. Let me try to get that right. Let me just verify. I'm still on my cell line. I don't want to send you last night. I'm just trying to verify the for anybody that would like to send any tithes, pre-ones, or offerings. That's not on this thread. I've got so many threads that I'm connected to. Correct. The tithes from the offerings that you'd like to help to keep the school in there in Albuquerque with the rent, with the electricity, fire program we have going on. Please go to your Google Pay or Google Wallet, and that's ISBHPKABQ isbhpk@gmail.com. That's isbhpkabq@gmail.com. For any time, response options that to offer to help the out there and advocate. As you know, any Bibles, apocryphals, encyclopedias, school supplies is definitely needed. Okay, it's definitely needed. As we are trying to keep and establish Albuquerque and keep it going and running, your continued help and support is definitely needed. Again, you can reach out to Regents in class on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, starting from 8 p.m. to about 10 at 7110 Suite F, Nile Boulevard, Northeast, African Mexico, 87110. And remember, it's on Manal between, Wyoming and Pennsylvania, right? On the south side of the street, across from the Culligan Water Company and the Blaze Lauderberg. We're directly across the street from there, all right? Please come and check us out, right? Please come and show your support as we gather together. As you know, the families in Albuquerque do gather together for the Sabbath also. It's held at different locations. If you're partaking in that feast, please get in touch with myself, 210-784-463, to get the location of whether you're holding the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath convocations. Please hit me at 210-784-8463, and we'll get you the address and the direction of where that's going to be at, okay? So with that, I do apologize about last night's class. Right when I started the class, I got a phone and did a little bit of counseling. It was an emergency. It was you know, something that really needed to be attended to. And then it was just, you know, a lot of back and forth. So the quality of the show was not at its optimum. It was not at its best. So one thing I did do was I went ahead and I canceled the show. I deleted the show. Okay, I do apologize for anybody who might have got something from it and want to go back and listen to it. I do apologize. I did delete the show. I'm going to come back and I want to come and get a much better sound quality and get a much better tempo going to complete that show. But for today, I titled this show Tuesday Thoughts. Right? Tuesday Thoughts, November 26th, 2019. Just share some thoughts of the Most High, share some scriptures. Trying not to make deep whatever, but just getting into the mind of the Most High. Right? Just getting into the mind of the Most High. That I'm reminded of scripture. Let me do this. Brother Ahmad, I believe I have your number here on the switchboard. Could you do a favor and text me if you'd like to be a reader this morning? If you could text me and let me know if you'd like to be a reader this morning, I am going to bring you in. Or if you have any announcements you'd like to make about what like the ins and outs of Albuquerque at this time, since you are definitely there and I'm here in San Antonio. So I don't hear me, Brother Ahmad. If you text me, I don't know if you're available to read this morning. I know you have got to work here in a little bit. But if you're a reader this morning, let me know. I can definitely tune in and get this hooked up. But with that being said, let me just get to find this scripture. I'm waiting for this to reply. All right, cool, yeah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it reads, for who have the mind of the Lord, that we may know him, but we have the mind of Christ. And that's one of the purposes of our study, one of the purposes of our classes, whether it be us here on Blog Talk, on Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 in the Albuquerque area, or if it's through our YouTube channel, ISBHPK Live or ISBHPK Norfolk Live, broadcast on Monday through Saturdays, the classes. And they also restarted ISBHPK Kids. They just also have ISBHPK Kids going again, and that's on Saturdays also as well there in Houston. So if you'd like to be a part of that and get something going on for kids, your children, please don't hesitate to log on to YouTube channel, Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, or ISBHPK Kids. I'll be able to partake, have you and your children be able to partake in those classes. Okay. Let me see here. It's all good. I'm out the water. It's all good. I'm not kind of the surprise of dropped. Just kind of hit out of nowhere. So no, it's all good, brother. We good. And shalom to you, brother. Good morning. Shalom. Okay. So again, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of Yahweh." And we get that through the scriptures. We get that through going back through the scriptures, going back and forth, getting the mind of Christ, getting the mind of the Most High. And it's important that we acknowledge that. It's important that we consider that because of this scripture here in Isaiah. As I go back to it, not that one. By Isaiah chapter 55, and it says this, Isaiah 55, verse 7, and it reads, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and go to our power, for he will abundantly pardon." Why is it important that we forsake our thoughts? Why is it that we forsake our ways? It's important because a lot of times we don't make God fit into our way of thinking, or into our perspective, and we don't try and get into his perspective. We really don't try and get to his righteousness. And one problem that we as Israelites have is we're going about and establish our own righteousness based on our feelings, based on our perceptions, based on our outlook, based on really how we feel, but not based on the Most High's righteousness, not based on the Most High says is righteous. By that I mean this, that I've grown up here in America where pork might have been on plates. That might have been something that was part of our regular diets. Whether it's been the pork bacon for breakfast, you came out and get a ham and cheese sandwich for lunch, and maybe some pork chops or queso or menudo in the evening for dinner, depending on what part of the country you might have grown up in. And the family tradition, as we get ready to come into this week, being Thanksgiving, to want to get together to have the greens with the fat back in it, to have the turkey, to have the, if you're from the down south, most of it will be some chitlins, whether it's the boiled chitlins, or whether it's the fried chitlins. That these are the traditions that we grew up with, and it's a family tradition. And because of the family tradition, you know, the feeling that we get, that we all come together and we stuff ourselves for Thanksgiving. And we stuff ourselves with a lot of food. And the Most High says is unclean for us, particularly the pork. Or if you're from down south like Louisiana, you might do the gumbo with the, it's got the pork sausage, it's got lobster, it's got shrimp, crawdads, and some type of, you know, Louisiana hot sauce soup, and it's considered good eat. But if we come back and find out the ways of the Most High, we find out that it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous in his thoughts. That we really don't consider that these things that we do are unrighteous in the eyes of the Father. That when we go and now read something like the dietary laws Leviticus 13 or Deuteronomy chapter 14. If we come back and read the dietary law, we find out that those are animals and those are seafoods that are most likely not great for human consumption. But for us, it doesn't make a bad thing because of the feeling associated with Thanksgiving. Because of the feeling associated with the Christmas also. That the feeling of family, the feeling of coming together, the feeling of being satiated, the feeling of just feeling stuck. We're about to pop. But not that we're all together and we've ate, we consume this. There's the pecan pie or the pumpkin pie or the apple pie or might be a cobbler. And, it's your great aunt Juanita's recipe. And it's just, to die for. And it's a perfect end to, coming after the meal, go to the living room or whatever and have that sip of rum, have that sip of brandy or that sip of cognac, maybe with a cigarette or a cigar, and watch one of the football games. And it's this real great family feeling. It's this real great sentimental feeling of just togetherness. What we don't realize is that most sides against that type of celebration, most sides against that type of most sides against that, that has nothing to do with him. So we realize in chapter 5, verse 7, it'll say, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous in his thoughts, and return unto the Lord. That now, as much as it's going to be thanksgiving, we go back and we know from John chapter 4, 22, we're told that we worship, we know not what we that we really investigate or really understand the things that we worship, observe today, and we think they're inspired by God, they're not. Again, Thanksgiving celebration. What was the original purpose of the Thanksgiving celebration? It was to commemorate the slaughter and massacre of Native Americans. That's the whole Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving thanks for the Native Americans, so-called Native Americans to help them survive the winter. Survive the house in America, show them how to plant food and eat, and they were rewarded, the Native Americans were rewarded with slaughter. They were rewarded with slavery. They were put into bondage. And that was the origins and beginnings of Thanksgiving. And that's not something God is with. That's something that God is proud of. That has nothing to do with the Father. And as we come down, as we look at the Thanksgiving celebration, Thanksgiving observance, that, again, how is that right in the eyes of Native Americans? That for Native Americans came and showed people how to live and survive on their land, that they're rewarded with slaughter, rewarded with murder, they're rewarded with genocide, and then they're rewarded with to be locked up on reservations. That the Native Americans had no fences. The Native Americans had no borders. But now they've been confined for the past 5 years almost. Thanksgiving was 1400. So we're talking about, and this is 2000, going on 2020. So we're talking about approximately 5 years, of these atrocities being committed, and what do they have to get thanks for? And now to be looked at as if they're terrorists to the American society, if they don't observe Thanksgiving and don't consider Columbus Day to be a historical or a memorial day of remembrance for its role, as much as the day of remembrance for slaughter, the day of remembrance for somebody who committed many atrocities. So it's important that we come back and we get the mind of Christ, right? That we get how Christ thinks and how the Most High thinks. That comes through our studies. So that we can come back now to Isaiah 55, verse 7. The wicked forsake his way, righteous in his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That, yes, it's true enough, we might have made mistakes. We might have celebrated some of these pagan holidays, these massacres, you know, that took place at a very prevalent part of American history. But the Lord's going to say, if we come back to him, let's come back to things his way, that he will abundantly pardon, okay? That he will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Verse 8, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And this, again, why it's important that we have all the different Bible studies and all the different classes that we have going on. And we can get the mind of Christ. And realizing that since our exile or captivity or oppression here in America, we've not been learning the Father. We've not been learning the Most High. As much as we talk about, you know, as we're coming to this so-called holiday season,
hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. I accidentally unplugged my microphone and hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello.
I'm not quite sure what happened.
Well, I know what happened. Again, I have my computer set up and arranged. Okay. I hope y'all can hear me now.
As you come to the Christmas holiday season,
we know that if we come back to the mind of Christ. Did Christ celebrate his own birthday? No, he didn't. Did Christ ever say that the way you're going to remember me or commemorate my life on earth as it came down and the things that I did, that the way it's going to be remembered is by sending up a tree, bringing presents to it, and saying, Merry Christmas, and Santa Claus brought it. Is that the way Christ, was that his mindset as far as him coming down and how he wanted to be worshipped or be remembered or be observed? If we don't go through the scriptures, we'll never find out. And we find out, when we do go through the scriptures, that setting up things like the Christmas tree, that's against God. That's totally against Christ. Christ is against God. That approximately 600 years before Christ was even born, we read in the book of Jeremiah chapter 10, where it tells us the custom of going out to the forest, getting a tree, chopping it down, bringing it home, standing it upright, and to decorate it with silver and gold. That it was told to the Israelites not to do 600 years, 6 centuries before Christ was born. And that's what God had mandated. So would Christ really come back and change that now? And if he did, where in the scriptures did he say, this is how you remember me? This is how you observe me. This is how I want to be remembered. That, it was a silent night, holy night, round young virgin, mother and child, sleep and heavenly peace. Where is that at? Where is that? That is how God, how Christ, want to be remembered, observed, or recognized. And then come back with Easter, another so-called Christian holiday. The fact that Easter is supposed to be the day that Christ rose from the dead, was it really commemorated with a rabbit that started laying eggs? Now, rabbits being mammals, they have live births. When does a rabbit ever lay eggs? Like a chicken or a reptile, a bird or a fish? They don't. But now somehow it's been associated that Easter and the rabbit and the eggs have something to do with Jesus Christ's resurrection. And that more people are looking for, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hoppity, Easter's on his way, then looking for how did Christ say to remember him or commemorate his resurrection of the dead, from the dead, over death. How did he say, the way you're going to remember this is by making sure you teach your children about a rabbit that lays eggs that doesn't exist. So, again, we want to come back and make sure that our thoughts are in line, are in tune with the Most High, with Christ. Okay? That's why I say John chapter 17, verse 17, tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. And we want to make sure that we're cleaning our minds up with the words of God. That Ephesians 5:26, with the washing of the water by the word. That we want to make sure we're cleaning our spirits up, cleaning our minds up. And that we're getting our thoughts in line with the Most High. We're getting our thoughts in line with Christ. Whether it be from our dietary food, traditions, to our ceremonial traditions, to our civil and moral traditions. We want to make sure that we're actually going by the Most High's thoughts, by Christ's thoughts, and not our own, as we're going to study scripture today. So reading on with Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So again, we want to make sure that we are not cleaning our own minds up from the things we've learned here in the Americas, in our travels in the Americas, whether we're so-called African Americans to so-called North American Indians to so-called Mexicans. From our travels here in the Americas, we have not been learning the Lord. We have not been learning God. We've learned religion. We've learned politics. We've learned how to survive in America. Again, you know, I'm going to quote Ice Cube again. One of his songs was How to Survive in South Central. That it's been all about survival. Whether it's the hustle of the streets, whether it's the hustle of business, and the acquiring of more and more education, more and more academics. But in all of that, what we've not been acquiring is the mind of Christ. We've not been acquiring the mind of the scriptures. Remember, for our first 40 years in America, as another reminder, we were never taught how to read and write. So in not being taught how to read and write, there is no way we can read the Bible to find out and get the thoughts of Christ, to get the thoughts of the Most High. There was no way. So a lot of things passed down to us through tradition. A lot of things passed down through tradition at the end of a whip, end of a gun, at the end of, if anybody's seen the movie Harriet, the movie about Harriet Tubman that's in movie theaters now, you'll see that families were at risk. It was kind of a common thing of having families broken up and sold off to different plantations, different states, and some even to from America to like Bahamas, to Haiti, to Jamaica, down to Brazil, down to Mexico. That they were breaking up our families big time for not accepting their religion, not accepting their perspectives, not accepting what they had to say. And for any of the books that we got, any of the Christian books that we got, any of the Bibles we got, they made sure that they were enough white pictures of Adam, enough white pictures of Eve, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of Joseph with the many colors, the multicolored jacket, of David, of Solomon, of Jesus and the disciples, and Zacharias and Nicodemus, and Peter, that there are so many white images that have been put up and portrayed, that for people who were not allowed to learn how to read and write, how did you go and verify if this was true or not? We could. We couldn't verify. We couldn't read. But now we're at a point in history where the Most High is returning to us the time we can now learn his thoughts, the time we can now learn how to do things the right way according to him. And that's through our reading, through our study. Okay? So, and getting into the thoughts of the Most High a little bit more, I wanted to go to Hosea. Actually, before I go there, let's go to Ephesians. All right, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm starting at verse 16. All right, I'm going to the book of Ephesians, and what we know is the New Testament. Chapter 1 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. And it reads, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this was, again, this was a letter from Paul to the brothers and sisters, the saints that were in Ephesus, the Israelites that were in Ephesus, many of them having learned, even at that time, had learned a lot of the Greek and Roman way, grew up in a Greek and Roman society, but then came back to the knowledge and understanding that, no, we are the Israelites, and that it's time for us, even at that time, to return back to the Most High. And that the same similar thing that was going on then of the conversion, the same thing going on then of repentance, and Israel is coming back to their knowledge. Israel is coming back to the knowledge of who they were. We see the same thing being mirrored today in this society. That now we're returning back to our true identity. We're returning back to our nationality. We're returning back to our culture. We're returning back to our heritage. And in that, we give thanks. Thank you, Father, for giving us a chance now to get back on your good side. Thank you, Father, for giving us a chance to get back now in your good grace. And that for just like when our forefathers came out of Egypt, you wanted to slay them and told Moses to get out the way and that he would make Moses a mighty nation. And that he would raise up rocks that would be more obedient and be more submissive to his will than us Israelites who had just been saved out of captivity, that had just been saved out of from the rigorous tortures and the rigorous affliction of the Egyptians, and had nothing but ingratitude. That has only been through his mercy, it's been through his kindness and his grace, that we now, in the year 2019, almost the year 2020, have a chance to be able to come back now and actually read and find out what it is we did wrong to the Father as a nation of Israel. And now, with that, what can we do now to get things back right between us and the Most High? And again, you know, I quote it all the time, Baruch chapter 4, verse 4, it says, happy are we, O Israel, for things that are pleasing to the Lord is made known unto us. That we're at a point now in history that for this oppression and from and it's the last captivity we as Israelites ever had to go in, that we're finally getting back to a point where we can find out what pleases God. For as much as we've tried the Muslims, now you know I listened to the audio book. It was having me on YouTube, the audio book of the autobiography, and for every, his father was a Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was a Jamaican brother that was really pushing heavy the Pan-Africanism, the Pan-African movement of slaves that came over on slave ships from the Caribbean, from North America, going back to Africa. He was really a big advocate for that. He really organized a lot of people and a lot of nations, even in Africa. With Marcus Garvey, I've done some research on him. Marcus Garvey had made a pact. There used to be a thing before so-called white man made a mistake called rubber tree. Not just in a play, not just on a movie set, but there really was a rubber tree. And it was there in Africa. And what Marcus Garvey was organizing was with the building of cars, the building of automobiles, and the need for rubber tires. That he was positioning himself to where he would be the rubber supplier for everybody, for GM, Ford, for all the car companies especially in America, he was going to be the supplier for their tires, which would have brought in, even at that time, would have brought in millions, if not billions of dollars, even for that time, for that economy. It was going to be, and that was going to fund getting our people, for what their understanding was, back to Africa. And it was, that's when, you know, a lot of people say that the B.F. Goodrich family had him put to death to kill that, because he was going to have a monopoly on it. That he was in talks with, he was in talks and really getting this organized with a lot of African countries and where the rubber trees are at to manufacture these tires and all these rubber products. And he was really going there. So that was one of the reasons he was put to death. But Marcus Garvey was really good at organizing Black people, whether, again, from the Caribbean or here in the Americas. He was really good at that. And this is pre-Civil Rights Movement. All right. The Martin Luther King's and Malcolm X's, that Marcus Garvey was really empowering so-called Black people and coming together, getting on businesses, getting land, and getting ready for this migration back to Africa. And a lot of people who followed Marcus Garvey, like Malcolm X's father, they were put to death because they were known as agitators. They were making the good docile, subservient sharecropping Blacks uppity. And then now, you know, we want to own our businesses, rewrite, right. That Marcus Garvey was one of was one person who was really pushing that, and that Malcolm X's father was a big advocate of the same thing, and that. Getting my thoughts back together. He was really a big advocate of the same mindset of gathering Black people together. And he was put to death for it. So as Malcolm X grew up and around 16, he went moving to New York. His family, after his father was killed in Omaha, Nebraska, they moved around a little bit. His mother, they called her, they wound up deeming her crazy and had her locked up in a mental institution. And he wound up at the age of like 16 in New York, Harlem, New York. And I ain't gonna tell you, everybody probably knows the story of Malcolm X. But he wound up in New York where he became a hustler, whether it was drugs or the underworld, I'm gonna say it like that. Yeah, he really went into it as a form of survival. Right, as a form of survival, that he had to do what he had to do to survive. And I'm only bringing this up because this is what many of our people have had to do here in America. We've had to find some type of form of survival. When I say America, I'm not just talking about America like the United States. I'm talking about North, Central, South America, or the Caribbean islands. That we had to learn how to do whatever we had to do to survive. That we had no answers. So if it meant becoming a street hustler, I'm going to become a street hustler. If it meant becoming an entertainer, I'm going to become an entertainer. If it meant becoming an athlete, I'm going to become an athlete. If it meant being a train porter, if it meant trying to dabble in politics, just whatever, I'm going to find some way to survive. I'm going to find some way to make it because of what we were going through. Because of what we were going through. And that, and going through these things, to come back now, for our people going through the things they were going through at that time, whether it was Native Americans being locked up on reservations and not knowing why. How is it that when the white man came here, we had the land, he had the Bible, now we got the Bible, he got the land. How did this happen? How is it that our ancient ancestral homes are taken from us, and now we're locked up on these reservations, federal land? How did it become like this? For all the drugs, the smallpox, the genocide, the infanticide. How did all this happen, and why? That we had no answers. We had no answers as to why these atrocities and these crimes were being committed against us with no justice. Why all this was happening and nobody could help or would help. So we were forced to go into, if we were talking about PTSD, good Lord. So we were forced to go into our modes of survival. If it's becoming a pork chop eating preacher, I don't know how to read the Bible, but if you need to hear me say, servants obey your masters, and you hear me say, oh, sweet Jesus, the Lord, good Lord, and what have you, and clap my tambourine, and you know, sing that song, that old Negro spiritual, and make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, then that's what we're going to do. If I got to be a step and fetch it buffoon, say I might feel better about myself, that I'm just a nobody, then that's what I'm going to do. That, oh, you're not going to call me black. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Cuban. I got Indian in my family. No, I got good hair. You can tell me I got bad nappy, woolly hair. No, that's not me. I'm going to learn how to speak proper English. So you're not going to associate me with being some dumb hick off the plantation, some country bumpkin that doesn't know anything. That's not going to be me. But we had to go through all these different survival tactics because the Most High was angry with us, and that's what I want to get into. So again, in the mercy of the Most High, for us to have gone through what we've gone through, but now they're able to come back and find out we the Israelites, that's one of the main benefits that we have now at this time in the year 2019, that we now know and have the access to find out what pleases the Most High. For as much as our people doing the military here in America, and the military was segregated, and they would not let us fight for the country until we were so brainwashed and shown that, no, we love America above all. Even though we're getting treated bad, even though we're not considered equals, we're considered three-fifths of a man, we want to join this man's military and fight for our country. And once we show these type of things, that now we're kind of accepted in the military, but still we'll go and fight the wars and come back as to be a second, third, fourth class citizen. That the same people that we went over and fought, Korea, Vietnam, Germany, were able to come over here. San Antonio is a German town with names like Fredericksburg, names like Wurmsbach. All these are German. All these are German names. And that San Antonio was founded by German people. But yet, World War One, World War Two, the Germans were our enemies. Enemies to America. But they were still able to come over here, get jobs, get wealth, get what have you, and achieve. While we who built the country, we who fought and bled and sweated to build the country, have still been considered second and third class citizens. So amidst all that, trying to find an answer to why. Try to find an answer to survivor being accepted. Does the fight for human rights? What, how and why? What's going on that you have to fight for basic human rights? Why all the way up to the year 2016, 2017, 2018, are we still talking about Black Lives Matter? Why? Why is Colin Kaepernick being blackballed or black labeled from the NFL? I heard he's trying to make a comeback. But for just taking a knee during the national anthem in the 21st century, how and why is this? That we're your athletes, we're getting the tattoos, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're dancing, we're singing, we're in church, we're voting, we're getting the educations, we're getting the high school diplomas, we're getting the bachelor's, the associate's. I'm going to have the order mixed up. We're getting our master's. We're getting our PhD. And we're still not accepted. We're still not accepted. That what is it that we need to do to survive? Okay, we'll be ghetto fabulous. We'll stop trying to be bougie. We'll stop trying to rub elbows and live in the suburbs. Got that. So we'll stay in the ghetto, and we're going to be ghetto fabulous. But we still suffer what we suffer. Why? So we're now drugs is an easy answer. Drinking is an easy answer. I've got no skills. I don't know how to really read. I don't know how to really write. I'm not a good athlete, but I can sell my body. And so that is the prostitution as far as sex. How many of our people who have no skills, no academic skills, but you submit yourself to all the medical experiments and get paid for it now? They want to test a new drug. They want to test the side effects of some new product. So you go and you get paid a couple hundred dollars, maybe even $1,000 or so. But you get a lot of paperwork that you understood coming into this that there might be side effects. You understood coming into this that you might be at risk to die. In this sleep study, in this study, whatever, where you're going to stay here for 2 weeks, a week, or what have you, and we're going to study that you can't come back and sue us if something, if you die. You can't come back and sue us if you acquire cancer. That's still a form of prostitution. But why are these our options for the plasma clinics? Yeah, we don't take your blood plasma. We'll give you this amount of money. And we're telling you that we do this with it, we do that with it. But we don't know what the hell they're doing with it. We don't know what they got really have going on. But we're going to do these things, prostitute ourselves. Why? Trying to survive. Trying to make it. So they come back now, and the Most High is letting us know the importance of that we are the Israelites. The mystery that we are truly the Israelites. We are God's chosen people. And that we're the ones who, only reason we're going through this is for our punishment, for our correction. All right, just text if I got any more texts. And again, if you have any questions, comments, scriptures, please hit me up, area code 210-784-8463. Please text. All right, area code 210-784-8463. Please text if you have any comments, criticisms, scriptures, what have you. Please hit me up, 210-784-8463. So, for me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 again. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in many prayers. Yeah, for us to come back and build our enemies. In the 83rd Psalm, our enemies, the lengths they've gone through to hide the fact that we're the Israelites. The lengths they've gone to, even, you know, I've been watching a lot of the last partition. How many Israelites have been white men raped our women and had children with our women? Now, the psychological warfare that presented, a lot of mothers that were raped by the white man couldn't stand their children. Hated those children. They were the children of rape. But a lot of them also, you know, mothers are actually innocent. And because of the whip, and because of the risk of being tortured, were forced to love these children of these rapists. But now, these children of these rapists happen to have color. The next is white. The next is Mexican. The next is, Pamela Anderson, kind of blonde with the rosy red skin. Now they get the color change. But now we can't base our hatred off color. We can't base our hatred on society and the color line. Because the color is and you know, as I'm going back and seeing some of these movies and think about the mindsets of the early Americans. If you had any drop of black blood in you, you was considered black. You had three drops, and you considered black. So, even though these white men was raping our women and having kids, the fact that the mother was black, now these kids are considered black. So now we can't differentiate between
can't say that now that it's easy now to make the argument, but we can't say that all black people are going to be saved. We can't say that all that all the Jews are black. We can't say that because as Christ told us that the enemy was going to come and sow his seed amongst us. And the reason that was such an evil thing is that now we're forced to have to consider loving everybody. And we can't really be about just ourselves. We're forced to have to accept everybody. We don't know. Christ told you about the tares, which is really a sad thing because, like, we can look at somebody like Bob Marley, whose father was an Edomite, was a white person. But he happened to have a black mistress on the side, Bob Marley's mother, who was from one of the poorest parts of Jamaica, the jungle, and had Bob Marley. But his father kept his white family rich, affluent in Jamaica, separate from this basically bastard child, Bob Marley, who's giving us reggae, who's giving us Rastafarianism or what have you. But they were trying to separate him from our people when he gave us reggae. To separate him and he gave us ganja and he wore dreadlocks. To separate him from us, now we can't do that. And again, for our enemies to understand, and the lengths they've gone to, that they would sacrifice their own children. They sacrifice their own children to keep us asleep, to keep us lost, to keep us away from the knowledge that we're the Israelites. That now we need to accept Christianity. We have to accept, or Rastafarianism is for everybody. Or having to come back and accept Muslims, that, as Malcolm was saying, blue-eyed, white-skinned Muslims that treated him like a brother. That now we have to accept these type of things and get away from the fact that we're the Israelites. But for us to be able to come back now and find out through the scriptures, we really are the Israelites. We really are God's people. There is hope. And not, and make sure I get that basketball. It's not I make sure I get that rap contract. It's not trying to make sure I get that college degree. But there's hope in that now we're finding out the reason we came over here, the reason we've gone through all we've gone through, we made the Father angry. Now, what made the Father? Well, what is it that made the Father angry? Our thoughts weren't his thoughts. We didn't think the way he thought. We didn't keep his commandments. We didn't do things the way he wanted things done. So he got angry with us. We provoked him to anger. But now, all we're going to do is now come back and start doing the right thing in his eyes. Start doing right by what he says. And he's ready to bring the whole nation out of Egypt. He's ready to bring us back home. Through who? And being led by who? By our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Governor, the Almighty, who the world calls Jesus Christ. That we have hope, that we have something to look forward to, that it's not going to crash. But it means of our people who thought voting was going to be it. That if we just allowed to vote, that's going to make things better for us. And we voted a so-called black president in office. Did that make things any better for us? No. And we've got people who got college degrees, PhDs. Has that improved us as a people in entirety? No. The knowledge of Masons, we get the knowledge of fraternities, we get the knowledge of you name it, we got it. Has any of that helped us and our condition as a united people? I'm not just talking about so-called blacks. I'm including all of the nation of Israel, including the so-called Mexicans, including the so-called Puerto Ricans, including the so-called Argentinians and Chileans, including the so-called Haitians, Bahamians, Ghana, Cubans, that all of our people, that we can finally escape, and the Most High finally bring us out with a mighty hand, stretch the arm, like he did us in ancient Egypt. He's ready to bring us back home now. But we're able to start doing those things, rehearsing the righteous acts, God's righteous acts. That is something to be thankful for. That is something to be pleased about. That is something to drop to a knee every day and thank the Father for getting his knowledge. But let me keep reading. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Let me see. All right, cool. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And now, this is something to give thanks for. Again, this is one of the benefits that the Most High, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That now we're able to finally get the spirit of wisdom and knowledge of our Lord and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God, and his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And to be able to find out that, you know, Psalm chapter 148, verse 14, that the saints of God are Israel, and that's who we are, that we are the saints. It's not no Mother Teresa, it's not no Pope John Paul, it's not no Donald Trump or Bill Clinton, whoever. We are the saints, the children of Israel, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans. Then we'll find out we're the saints. And now, to be able to start to get the knowledge, to be able to start to get the enlightenment of what is God's calling. What is God's calling concerning his nation? What is God's calling concerning his people? Is that really God's calling? Is that the talent God gave us so that we could be, if you're tall, you're going to be a basketball player? Is that really the God-given talent? Is it really God's given talent to become a great singer? And you're singing at the age of 7, 5. So by the time you're 12 years old, you're already turned out sexually. But that was the God-given talent. And you start off singing in church and became secular. That's the God-given talent to become a pimp. To just go home, just go to work and come home. That's God's calling, that you just have enough to pay your bills and be comfortable. Is that what God's calling really is, as being an Israelite? Well, now we have the chance to do what? Now we have the chance, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, 18 again, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that now we're able to get the knowledge of God. What actually pleases God? Does voting? Does politics? Does religion? The fact that I have good credit, and I work hard to make sure I maintain my good credit, is that the knowledge of God? Is that all the calling of God is about? Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That's the miracle that a lot of people just don't see and recognize or remember. The miracle that we are finding out, we the Israelites, we really don't, and I got to find the time somehow organize it, put it together. I would love some other teachers to be able to come help me and put this together. Being able to go into the scriptures and into the history and really see the depths of what this society has done to hide the fact that we really are the Israelites. Because you go back to our history again, you go back to our history, and we stand against the Father as a nation, as a people, we were always in captivity. But it would be within that captivity that we would find that we were Israelites. We knew we were Israelites. Let's be real about it. We knew we were Israelites, and we knew why we were in captivity. And we stopped obeying our God, and we started following the ways of the other nations. And we would humble ourselves. We would come together, humble ourselves, pray to the Most High as a nation, not individuals, but as a nation. The Most High will always send us a deliverer, a savior, to come and deliver us from that captivity. To be the time now where the whole world knows who we are. The whole world knows who came over on those slave ships to the Americas. It's documented. They have the records. They have the histories. They know that they bring us over, knowing who we are, or enslaving those of us that were already here in the Americas. They knew who we were. And they go to the depths to make sure that we now call ourselves Indians. To go to the depths to make sure now we call ourselves Negroes, colored, Haitians, Jamaicans, Dominicans, what have you. To make sure that now, we as people at one time had one language being Hebrew, then now it's going to be Spanish and a different dialect of Spanish. It was going to be English and a different dialect of English. It was going to be Portuguese. To make sure that we were divided every possible way we could be. Every possible way that we could be. That it was a real diabolical plan that was put together. Yes. Oops. That we have to come back and understand and put that together. And the miracle that we are now at this time. Remember, the scriptures tell us what? Among our forces. I'm still on my mind. Well, I should check the one before you. Universalists, all the different names that of religion that are out here in America today, we wouldn't know anything about these things until it was forced upon us with the arrival of Caucasians to the Americas. We wouldn't be familiar with any of it. It was forced upon us. The politics, we wouldn't have no clue about the politics. It was forced upon us, a Democrat or Republican. A liberal or a conservative. These are not Bible cultures. These are not Bible cultures. It's not the culture of the Hebrew Israelites. But for us to turn to these things, these idols, and that's what they become, idols and gods. This is one of the reasons why the Most High stayed angry with us. But now to be able to come back and now find out I'm not just a nigga. I'm not just a Mexican. I'm not just a refugee. To find out how we really are the Israelites, and it says it's been here from ages and from generations. So it must be the point where our parents didn't know and were not taught that we're the Israelites. Our grandparents didn't know and were taught that they're the Israelites. Our great grandparents, going all the way back, they were taught whatever they needed to do to survive in America, but they were not taught that we're the Israelites. From Muslims to the Native American movements to Al-Aqsa to I'll take it there. That for all the different things that we gave ourselves over to, we didn't know that we were the Israelites. And we're ready to fight and die for that, know we're the Gentiles. They were ready to fight and die in professing and just knowing we're the Gentiles. There has been a mystery that's been here for ages and for generations. But now this mystery being revealed to us that we really are the Israelites. And now we can now find out what it is we need to do to start pleasing the Most High as a nation, as a people. Okay, from there, I didn't want to go. Let me see how much time I got. If I'm saying this right, I got up. Let's see, somebody call me. Oh, snap. Okay. I had to get back in touch with him. Give me 1 second, y'all. Give me 1 second. I'm just checking the time. You know what time it is? It's time to get killed. All right, cool. I got a little bit of time. I got a little bit of time. All right, cool. So, going to Hosea chapter 13, verse 9. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9. And it reads, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thine help. And this point, again, why were we brought into the earth? Why were we kicked out of the promised land? And again, it's letting us know we destroyed ourselves. Right? That we brought a lot of this upon ourselves. Not in the Kanye West type of mentality. But we truly have destroyed ourselves because we were warned if we look at the scripture. So many times that if we don't get our act right, this is going to happen to us. And, you know, from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because we reject the knowledge, most of the things reject us. So that we will be no priest to him. And then he said he will also forget our children. So we go back and consider how many generations of our people grew up not knowing they're Israelites. And thus, not knowing how to please the Most High. Not knowing how to get the Most High on our side. So that things like Satania, Brujalia, Voodoo, superstitions became so prevalent amongst our people, amongst our more recent ancestors. Because the Most High turned his back. He was done. So in keeping with the prophecy that I'll forget thy children, that many of us grew up in some very hard lives. We were experiencing things that children should not be experiencing. But why? We have to understand that that was a consequence of our continued rebellion. It wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just on the individuals, but our continued as a nation. Rejection of God's knowledge. Rejection of doing things God's way. That one of the consequences was that now our children, and we being the children of our parents, and our parents being the children of their parents, and our parents' parents being the children of their parents' parents, growing up in people who don't know how to please God, who don't know the right way of God's righteousness, that many of us grew up guessing. Many of us grew up not knowing what's the right thing to do. So we adopted so many different things. But remember, this only happened to us after centuries of warnings, centuries of taps on the wrist. Of God letting you know, if y'all don't get right, you're going to make me get more severe. If y'all don't get right, you're going to make me, and this is what's going to happen. And now we're able to come back now on this side and be able to look backwards and see, damn, this is how we know we're the Israelites. We know from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 46, it tells us that the curses are going to be upon us for a sign and for a wonder for us to know that we are the Israelites. And now we can see some of the things that have happened to us. We can see some things that happened to, that we've had to live through, that we've had to survive. And in going through these things, we're able to like it now and see, yes, this proves that we're the Israelites. But again, the glory of God is that now we can start to make a change. That now we can start to make things right between us and our nation and the Most High. That we can now go there. But it's telling us, again, in Hosea chapter 13, verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I'm sorry, y'all. But in me is thine help. That we did destroy ourselves. That we was given too many warnings. Our ancestors were giving too many warnings. And just like we can see one of the mistakes, if you will, of Caucasians in America with like the industrial age, we can now look back and see how white people, Caucasians, didn't even care about their own children or their own grandchildren, what have you, in the building of these big industrial corporations that destroyed the air, destroyed the ozone, destroyed water, and it's destroyed land. The same water that their children would have to be drinking today. The same air, that's got all the pollution that put old holes in the ozone layer that was responsible back, you know, back in the 70s and 80s for acid rain, for all the oil that's been spilled in the ocean, destroying the sea life. That all that in it for the chase of money. All that for the mentality of just live for the day. Tomorrow's not promised. Seize the day. That for that type of mentality, we can look back and see how that was foolish. But we can go back and also look and see, as far as us as Israelites, we had the exact same mentality. That it was just about living for the moment. And if living for the moment meant not having to think about the way God wants things done. Not thinking about having to do things the way God said do it. Hell, let's go all the way back to the beginning with Eve. When do not partake of the trees in the garden. If you do, you're going to die. And where is it that Satan was able to trick her? You're not going to die, you know, under his breath right now. Look at me. Am I smoking a cigarette? Have I dropped dead yet? No. Look at me. I'm eating this pork. Have I dropped dead right now? No. Look at me. I'm committing adultery and sleeping with whomever, whatever. Am I dropping dead right now? No. So, it must be okay. it must be okay. But we know the long-term effects. The wages of sin is death. When do you collect a wage? Even from the scriptures, you collect the wage at the end of a day. You put the work in, at the end of the work day, you get paid this. We know here in America, it's after the end of 2 weeks or once a month or whatever it might be. You go work first, then you get your wage after a period of time. So, same with sin. You put in your work with sin, then the payback is death. It might not be immediate, but eventually it's going to catch up. So, again, Hosea chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, and we have. Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. All right? It's not like we weren't warned that this is going to be the consequences of what we're going to face. It's not like we're not warned, you know, as my kids come through school and not wanting to do their homework. Okay. Because I wasn't able to be around it as much as I would like to have been. So the being a little bit more lax on homework, that became an option and available. But come at the end of every semester, each one of my kids find themselves where? Trying to turn in extra homework, trying to get extra work done. But why? Why are you having to rush and try to put in all this extra work just to get a barely minimum passing grade? Well, you could have been got off the video games. Stop trying to take a nap right now. Get up and get your work done. If not, this is going to catch up with you. This is going to be your downfall. So in a similar sense, it's not like we weren't warned by the Most High of what was going to happen. It's like our people, the nation, was not told many, many, many times over centuries what was going to be the consequence or the repercussion of our actions. And now we're catching it. And now we're feeling it. And now we're going through it. But, again, we brought it up on ourselves. All right? Let's go to, let me catch up with y'all real quick. And that was Hosea chapter 13, verse 9. All right. From there, let's go to Second Kings, chapter 17. Second Kings, chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 7 through 17. Right? Second Kings, chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse 7. I'm going to read through verse 17. Right? As I'm being fully aware of the time here. All right, cool. Second Kings, chapter 17, verse 7. It says, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. So what did our foreparents do in coming out of Egypt and being saved from that captivity and that oppression and those tortures and those crimes? We were delivered from Pharaoh, from that oppression, from those rigors. And after being freed, we did what? And then we feared other gods. I mean, we started serving other gods. It was the Most High who brought us out of that captivity. But in coming out of the captivity, we started serving other gods. We started serving other things. Verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. So we started again. We started this thing of, well, when in Rome, use the Romans do. That's nowhere in the scriptures. That mentality, that's nowhere in the scriptures. But again, verse 8, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. Well, how do they do things? How do they operate? How's their government? What are their lives like? What's their home life like? We start operating under the statutes of the heathen. Now we're in our land. We're in Israel. We're in the promised land. The Most High blessed with wealth and abundance of everything. Houses that we didn't have to build, wells we didn't have to dig, furniture, you name it. We was given it all. And then we did what? We started walking in the statutes of the heathen. You know, similar to like as a kid, you might ask your parents, ask your mother, teaching them on July 4th, their parents let them shoot guns on July 4th. Well, good for teaching them. We don't do that in this house. That's not what we're going to do. Man, Janet's mom is so cool. She smokes weed with her kids. Okay. That's what goes on in their house. That's the statute of law and rules in their house. Those aren't the statute of laws and rules in this house. But this was the mentality that we took on. We started adopting and following the statutes and the ways and the rules of others. And not keeping the statutes, laws, and ways of the Most High while we were in the promised land. And it says, whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. The Most High already kicked these nations out. He was showing that he was already stronger than them. But what did we come back and do? No, we're going to follow their law. Even though our God kicked their God's butt, we're going to follow them. Even though our God was stronger than them, we're going to come back and follow them. Verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. It says, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And this is a class I've been meditating on. I want to put together. When you go back and read through the kings and Chronicles, all the kings of Israel, all the kings of Judah, one special note I always kind of stood out. It tells you that this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. This king did evil in the sight of the Lord. And one thing that struck my curiosity with that was, why did it say in the sight of the Lord? Meaning the evil that they was doing wasn't seen by everybody. The evil that they were doing was only seen by the Most High. And that to me always kind of stood out. So as I come back and read the scripture here in 2 Kings, that's where we're at, 2 Kings chapter 17 verse 9. It says, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. It was done in secret. It wasn't like it was done all out in the open. It was only done in secret. It says, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. That was, you know, when it says supposed to nip it in the bud, then now this can't get nipped in because it started out being done in secret. And then it's like, you know, well, people in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. Nobody's perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not Jesus Christ. Yeah, we take on this mentality because we're doing a lot of things in secret. Remember how Christ came back and spoke about like the Pharisees and Sadducees, that one of the things they did was they go to extensive means to get the outside clean. But inside, they're full of dead men's bones. They're like open sepulchers. That on the outside, you work hard to keep it, make sure you look good on the outside. But inside, you got a lot of negative. On the inside, there's a lot of bitterness. All right, reading on. Now, I see the time expires, so I'm going to finish this reading here, and we'll shut it down. Verse 10. You got verse 10?
2 Kings chapter 17, verse 10. And they set them of images and groves in every hill, high hill, and under every green tree.
Now, how many green trees were in Israel? Now, we had things we worship, observe. But every green tree, that's a lot. Yeah, come on, think about every tree. Here in San Antonio, there's trees all over the place. And what was that? Every green tree, we had a different God who was worshiping, serving, considering. That's ridiculous. Verse 11.
And there they burnt incense and all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger.
Right, and that we ourselves over to these things. We were giving ourselves over to all these different things. And again, the burning incense, it wasn't just talking about burning some black love incense as much as the incense then was laced with cannabis. It was laced with herb to get you high. So that now, you know, today you blame it on the drink, blame it on the alcohol. But then we blame it on the incense. That is for burning this incense, for burning this weed, getting high, getting numb, getting in that mindset, that now my inhibitions have melted away. That now my fears are gone. I've opened my mind to these different ways of thinking, to thinking outside the box, to letting my mind be free. Reading on.
Verse 12. For they serve idols, wherefore the Most High has said unto them, ye shall not do this thing.
What are y'all doing? Those idols didn't save you. Those idols have not helped you. Those, if it didn't help the nations that you got the idea from, why would you pick it up and do it also? If it didn't help them, why do you think it's going to help you? But this was the mentality that we were stuck in. Reading on.
Verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah, and by all the prophets and by all the seers, said, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servant, the prophet.
And I've been warning y'all. I've been sending the prophet to let you know. Y'all gonna get it. Get right. Stop it. Reading on.
Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their neck, like to the neck of their father. They did not believe in the Lord their God.
They said, we didn't believe that the Most High was going to do anything. We didn't believe the Most High was going to get us. We thought we was living it up. We thought that everything was all gravy. It was all good. Read.
Verse 15. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made there with their family, father, and his testimony, which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not do like them.
We started following the other nations even that much more. We were rejecting the Most High's knowledge and wisdom and warnings that much more. Okay, reading on.
And they left all the commandments of their Lord, of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even to cast, and made of bronze, and worshiped
all the hosts of heaven is stars. Is that, you know, the whole starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight? You understand that's pagan. I wish I might. That was extremely pagan. They worshiping all the stars of heaven. This is what we got into. And in doing that, it says we what? We left all the commandments of the Lord our God and made them molten images. What's a molten image? It's something you make. It's something you come up with. You get the metal, you melt it, and you make something out of it. So it ain't just talking about the metal. That's not the point. But it's something that you made important to you. It's something you made precious to you. It's something you made sentimental to you. That had nothing to do with the Most High, had nothing to do with God. It's only precious to you. It's only special to you. This is what our foreparents did. Reading on verse 17.
And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass the fire and use with divination and enchantment to scold and told them themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger.
So these were our actions of our foreparents in the land of Israel, right? That warranted us having come to the Americas and face the consequences and the curses and the oppression and the atrocities and the crimes and the injustices that we've been through because of these very things. So again, brothers and sisters, I want to thank everybody who didn't get a chance to tune in. I'm going to leave it off right here. Tonight being Tuesday, it is Tuesday night. Remember, Brother Kazakia has the ISBHPK Norfolk Live. ISBHPK Norfolk Live. What we ask is that you like, share, subscribe, hit the notification button, that little bell. And even if you might possibly be at work, because his classes start tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which coming back at 7, 6, if you're in Albuquerque, that would be 5 p.m. And many of y'all might just be getting off work or might be at work. But we ask that you like, share, subscribe, and hit the notification button. So as you get the notification, that you can still share, like and share the programs so that we can keep keep the count up so they won't shut down our YouTube channel. Okay? We don't want them to shut down our YouTube channels. So, again, tonight, if you're in Albuquerque, it starts at 5 p.m., is ISBHPK Norfolk Live. We ask that you go ahead and like, share, subscribe. If you really get a chance to listen to the whole show, or if it's just to get the notification and just to share it, please do. It counts, and it definitely helps. Okay, like and share. It definitely helps. There is class in Houston. If you're in the Houston area, make it to the school, 8524 South Ridgewood Boulevard, Houston, Texas. Go ahead and get out there with the brothers and sisters, the families there in Houston. In San Antonio, there's no class tonight. There is no class tonight. And in Albuquerque, I know we had the Blossom class this morning, and I'm not sure if the brothers Ahmad or Aisha Wajzlat will be going by the school tonight. I'm not sure about the actual nightly schedule that is established there. I'm not sure. And again, don't forget, www.paypal.me/Banahizar, BANAHIZAR. We ask you to buy one of the raffle tickets for the auction having of a beautiful garment. We ask, it's $30. We ask you to go ahead and get a ticket. Or if you just want to help support, you don't even want the ticket, we just want to help support, you can go to www.paypal.me/Banahizar, BANAHIZAR. With that, my name is Mashaba. My son, Idar, came and read with me. Thank you all for tuning in. And with that, we're going to say shalom.